Climatech of Professional Air with host Travis Thompson.
Good morning. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C., and I am so happy to be joined this morning by my friend, Mr. Travis Thompson of Climatech of Professional Air. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning.
It's
glad to be here.
So nice to see you this morning. It's beautiful outside, and the world is still turning, despite what 2020's best efforts.
That's right. As long as you don't read Facebook or anything, it's still good.
That's right. There's still good stuff going on in the world, and we are here on the Pensacola Expert Panel to talk about all things related to your air care quality in your home and making sure people are comfortable, safe in their home environments. And I want to remind everyone now at the beginning that you can call or text us with your questions. So if you have some, get in touch, 850-437-1620, because Travis has been doing air care for a long time and has seen, I imagine, all kinds of different situations and answered a lot of questions. So let us know if we can help you out by answering yours.
Yep. Love to hear anybody that has questions. That's kind of what we want to do this show for. You know, we'd love to hear from listeners, hear from people that have questions, concerns, whatever it might be. And if I can't give you the answer right away, I'll certainly find it for you. That's kind of what I like to do. I like to deal with customers and talk to them, get their reactions as to things we do. I love to get feedback, even if it's from customers that we have. Any of that stuff's great for me. One of the things that this time of year always seems to bring up, we kind of laugh and joke about it because we get a lot of calls that people's air conditioners are on fire and what they're doing, a heat pump operation is something that we don't see a lot of around here because we don't get a lot of really cold weather. But if we do get a really cold stint of weather, heat pumps actually go into what's called a defrost mode. And when that happens, the outdoor unit actually, when a heat pump's running in cold weather, the outside coil of the heat pump ices up, and that's normal because the outside temperature is cold. But it has to defrost itself every once in a while. So when it goes into that defrost, it actually turns the outside fan motor off, and it shifts into the air conditioning mode, which kind of makes people think it's crazy, but it shifts into that air conditioner mode just to put that hot gas through their coil and make that outside coil melt. And what you get is an outside unit that the fan motor shuts off, the compressor starts to make a funny noise, and steam starts to come out of the top of the unit. And that's what a lot of people will call about, scared to death that their unit's on fire because their fan motor quit.
Oh, no. So really it's steam.
Yes,
it's not smoke.
It's correct. Okay. That's right. And that's a normal operation when you have a really cold temperature. Now, it's not going to do it with the temperatures we've had so far this year, but just figured I would throw it out there for any listeners that might see it come up. We usually get a few every year that call in, and they've shut their unit off and they require a service call for us to come out. And a lot of times there's really nothing wrong. It was just going through its normal defrost stage and getting rid of that ice on the outside coil.
So is that something people could expect, like every time, the two or three times that it gets cold enough?
Yeah.
Here?
It's totally dependent. Each unit's going to be a little bit different. It's dependent on the outside temperature. It's depending on the refrigerant that your unit's using, the efficiency. Some manufacturers actually do it based on a time below a certain temperature outside. Some of them do it based on a temperature and a time. So they all use a little different, but it's pretty much the same as far as how the defrost works. And, to see a light coating of ice on the outside coil that you can see on some units when it's really cold outside, that's okay. We'll get a lot of people call in concerned about seeing some ice on the outside coil, and as long as it's not thick ice that's built up and not defrosting like it should, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's keeping the house warm and it's defrosting every once in a while to keep it a thin layer of ice.
So ice and steam might be happening, and that's not necessarily a reason to panic.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But so it may be, yeah, so if it was like thicker or not, you can't actively see it melting after a little while.
Right, right. I mean, it would have to get, usually what you want to see is a light frosting of ice on the coil. that's okay. Now, if you're seeing solid ice that's, you know, a half inch thick or more, where you've got big pockets of ice, that's a problem, because it sounds like it's trying to heat, but it's not getting rid of that ice. And once the ice gets so thick, it can't produce heat anymore. And then it relies on the indoor heat strips, which use a lot more energy. So that's not what you want to do either. For a heat pump to work like it should, it does have to defrost that ice every so often.
Yeah, that sounds like, if it's, you know, working overtime, that sounds like it's going to translate into a higher bill.
It will. It will. And that's something, it's sad. We'll get a lot of calls that people are concerned about a power bill after a really cold snap. And, you know, they can be $400 and $500 power bills. Ooh. When you're relying strictly on heat strips for a cold period of time, which some years we don't even get that. But if we do get it, if you're heating the house with all electric heat strips, your power bill can jump substantially in the winter just from that 1 month. And that's not good.
Yeah, I don't want to get one of those bills in my emails.
That would be a great reason why people may want to have a maintenance done going into winter, because you do need to make sure that the refrigerant levels are right, would be the first thing. Make sure the defrost cycle is working, which most of them have a test mode on there. We can test it without it being cold outside to make sure it does go into defrost. And then make sure that the unit's wired right, because we find a lot of units, you know, a customer may complain about a drafty, you know, when a heat pump's running, they may get a draft of cold air. Well, when a heat pump's not wired properly, and we find this quite a bit, when that defrost does occur and the unit goes into a actual air conditioning mode for a short time to melt that ice, the way it's supposed to happen is the indoor strips should come on to keep that air warm during that defrost cycle, pretty short period of time. But if the defrost strips or the heat strips inside are not coming on with that defrost, you're actually having your air conditioner turn on for 2 or 3 minutes in the middle of the winter, and you get a nice cold blast of air, and then it'll go back to heating again. So that's another thing that we do find from time to time.
Gotcha. So if those heat strips aren't activating either, so there's a lot of working parts here that all have to kind of cooperate with each other to make it happen.
That's exactly right.
And it sounds like, I know I would not even have the first clue about how to check my refrigerant levels or anything like that. So I would definitely be calling to let someone who knows exactly what they're doing from ClimateTech, professional air, come check it out for me.
Yeah. Anytime you're seeing the power bill spiking up in the winter, if you've got a heat pump, it's definitely something you would want to have checked out, make sure all that stuff's working properly, because if it's not, it can run a power bill up and make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, sounds like all around reasons to make sure that's all checked out, like,
sure,
well and good. Do you have any recommendations on, like, doing that sooner than later?
Well, I mean, obviously you'd want to do it before it's a problem if you could. This is a great time of year to have it done. These next couple months, we tend to get short spurts of cold weather, not quite the long stints that we can get. Of course, living here, you never know when you might get a long stint of winter. But
so true.
Yeah, so any time before it gets necessary would be a great time, which is, this is when we try to schedule a lot of our maintenance programs to get out and look at them this time of year, when it's easier for us, it's easier for the customer, people aren't inconvenienced as much.
Very good, very good. So again, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Ruthie C., speaking with Travis Thompson of ClimateTech of Professional Air. We're talking about heat pump operations as the weather cools off and some things that might not look normal but actually are. And if you have questions or you've seen something or, you know, you just aren't really sure, give us a call or you can send a text. 850-437-1620 is the number. And Travis has, we've seen a lot of things and times and probably answered questions, so no question is too crazy. I know I've asked mine, and you know, I hope people have benefited from the, sometimes you just never know until you ask. Something that we wanted to talk about today that I'm really excited to learn more about. Tell me about dirty sock syndrome.
Yeah, that's a funny one. Actually, it's, most people don't know where it's coming from. But what happens is in a heat pump, when the coil goes from a heating to a cooling and back and forth, which is what we do get this time of year more than anything, because you'll have one day you're running your AC, the next evening you're running your heater. When that coil goes back and forth, there is a bacteria that can get on that coil. And this is not something you can see. It's not something that means you've got a dirty house or you're filthy, anything like that. And it's, you know, I've seen it in every different type of house you could imagine. And there's no correlation to who cleans their house the most. And a lot of times it's hard to discuss with a customer because they want to take offense to it. And it's not. It's just a bacteria that gets on that coil. And when it goes from that heating to cooling, the reason it's called dirty sock syndrome is almost everybody that calls in says exactly that. It smells like a wet laundry basket where clothes have been left in a laundry basket or socks have been left, and it smells just like a dirty sock.
Okay, yeah. I get it now. So it's not that your socks look dirty, it's that you're smelling.
That's right. It smells just like it. Yep, wow. It is. And I've even noticed it in vehicles before. It's just a bacteria. It's not something you can really put a finger on why it's there that I have found, and we've looked all over. There are many different ways that we've gone about, you know, solving this. And each house is different. Again, sometimes just a cleaning of the coil does the trick. Sometimes we've put in indoor air quality products that do a good job of killing the bacteria that keeps it away. So there's a lot of different ways to deal with it, but it's just something that, again, wanted to bring it out because this is a time of year when we'll get a lot of calls. And a lot of times people look for a long time. They don't even suspect their air conditioning system because I've been in houses before and you won't smell it until you walk under an AC vent. And you don't feel that AC vent. You just think it's somewhere around you in the house. And you start looking everywhere in the house. It's the AC vent that it's actually coming out of.
But that's it. So if you are experiencing this dirty sock syndrome, don't think that it's a reflection of your cleanliness or anything that you're doing wrong. And I guess that makes sense because I imagine that, you know, when socks get to that point, there's probably some bacteria going on there too. So maybe it's the same thing and they like the coils or they like your gym bag.
Yeah.
It's resulting in the same.
It's a definite distinct smell. And if you smell it, that very well could be what it is. So that's just something to throw out there so everybody can have an idea and not have to beat yourself up looking for something that it really isn't there.
Right. Or your teenager or your your significant other or someone else blaming it on them.
We've heard a lot of funny stories with that one.
So is it a pretty easy fix, like if that's going on?
Can be. It can be depending on, like I said, each house and how easy access is to that indoor coil. It can be a fairly simple fix. And it can also be a fix of, you know, how does the customer want to go about fixing it? Do you want me to just get rid of it for now? Or do you want to put in something like, you know, we do the Remy Halo, for example, that does a great job of killing all those tight bacteria and things in the home. So then that's more of a long-term solution as well as an indoor air quality solution. So depends on what the customer wants to do.
Of course. All right. Well, that makes great sense. We have a question coming in, Travis, and this person would like to know, how does a multi-stage system use less energy if it runs more?
Okay, great question. It's the way I correlate it, and customers seem to best understand it, and I keep going back to automobiles. If you drive downtown and you run your car from red light to red light, stop and go, stop and go, stop and go, that's the worst fuel mileage you're going to get on your car versus a drive in the country where you may drive for long periods of time. Getting a air conditioning system, the compressors, the motors, the refrigerant levels, all that to come up and start and get the refrigerant levels to where they need to be, waste a lot of energy to get it there. So by going with multi-stage or variable speed systems, once we get it there, we get to keep it there for a long period of time, and we don't cool off the house as quickly, but we can keep in that space of dehumidification, cooling or heating, whatever we might be doing, for a longer period of time so that the swings in the house are not as high and low as far as a peak and a valley from the highest temperature to the lowest. We kind of drag that out. It makes the house more comfortable, but as to how it saves energy is we're not getting all that stuff started again. We can run it for a longer period of time before it shuts off, and that just correlates to lower energy cost.
All right, so that's maybe kind of like how I've heard before, if you're going to run your dryer, like do it all in one day, and like rather than having it start up and shut down, like kind of leave it hot, I guess, or leave it running.
That may to some degree on a dryer. It's dryers are kind of, they're on, they're almost instantaneous except for the motor turning. But with air conditioning systems, one thing that takes it a while is, for instance, when the AC kicks on, you know, you're looking anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes worth of runtime before that unit really starts doing everything it's designed to do. Taking humidity out of the house, the coil reaching the right temperature, the refrigerant levels, everything getting to where it needs to be. So if you've got a unit that's shutting off in, say, 6 or 7 minutes, you really only got about 2 minutes of its really good runtime. So, and then that's how it's different from a dryer. A dryer, once it starts up, it's almost there. But it correlates well to a car because it just does, you know, the driving down the road is a very good example of how that works that people can relate to because everybody's done it.
That makes sense. Okay, I like that. And so that's maybe a case where would you recommend if someone is looking to replace their unit, maybe consider one
Absolutely.
Of these variables?
Yes. And I recommend the variable speeds for a lot of different reasons. You know, they're quieter. They do a lot better job with humidity removal, which in our area is huge. That's probably the biggest one that I see the customer feedback come in on because the variable speed systems tend to lower the humidity in the house. I've seen it anywhere up to 10%. And again, I think we've talked about before where a customer may before have been wanting 72. Now 72 is too cold. They actually bump it up. So I get a lot of customer feedback on that extra humidity removal. They really like, they're quiet. And then, you know, the energy bill is just, to me, a bonus. You're going to get the energy bill too, because the energy bill goes way down by running longer periods of time. And the variable speeds, you know, they run, again, correlating to a car, almost like an accelerator in your car. You're able to only use the amount of gas you need to maintain the temperature in the house like you would your accelerator on your car driving down the highway, as opposed to a single speed system would be like driving your car down the highway and having to basically floor the gas to get to 80 and let off the gas to get to 70 and then floor the gas to get to 80. A variable speed can run right there at 76, 78, whatever you want, and just kind of idle along. And again, you know what a fuel mileage would do running that way. Same thing happens with your energy bill.
Same thing. So going back for a second, we were talking before about the heat strips and how they need to kick on when the AC mode happens, even when we're heating the house.
Right.
I imagine there's probably sometimes maybe even especially the first time starting it back up again, other smells. So mm-hmm. maybe not just the dirty sock syndrome.
No, yeah.
But other things too.
Gas furnaces, I think we touched on a little bit maybe last week, but heat pumps are the same way. Heat pumps do have heat strips in them. And, you know, we refer to them as emergency heat strips, and they can be used in emergencies if something happened to your heat pump. But they do also kick on when you go into a defrost. And in our climate, if we have a year or two where we don't get a really cold stint of winter, you may have not used those heat strips all year last year. So if we do get a really cold stint and you do get that heat strip kick on for the first time, any dust that's accumulated on those strips is going to burn off. And it should be a very brief, you know, smell, but you do get a burning smell of that dust burning off. And that's something else that we do get calls and concerns on if we get a really good cold. You know, it typically takes, you know, a day or more of cold weather for this type of stuff to start happening, not just one night of cold like we get right now.
Okay, gotcha. So that first time, would someone expect that after you've run it, like you said, for a couple of days, that it's still there? You said it should be pretty brief.
Yeah, no, it should be brief, and it should really only be once.
Okay.
Yeah, once it burns that dust off for that time frame, however long it's not had it on, you should be done with the year for those heat strips. I mean, you may get a very, very faint smell, but nothing like that first one that sometimes can be pretty potent.
Gotcha. So if there was something like that, then it's probably not just the dust burning off, like
right.
If you're smelling something consistently.
Oh, yeah. If you're smelling a consistent burning smell, something else is probably going on.
In which case, you should absolutely call.
Yes, please.
That's because we started by kidding around that people think their unit is on fire. But if you're smelling burning like to that extent, then that sounds like a different issue altogether.
Absolutely.
And while we're talking about people getting in touch, I want to make sure they know how to do that, for the best way for you to reach Travis and his team at Climatech.
Sure. Our phone number at the office is 850-857-4700. You can also go online, climatechproair.com, and reach us there. You can actually schedule service there online if you would like. But you're welcome to call there and talk with Ms. Roberta or Matt there in the office. And, you know, they can, if it's a question or something like we're talking about on the show, they'll be glad to put you in contact with me. If not, if it's something they can help you get serviced, they will get you on the schedule and they can tell you when and how we can get there.
Perfect. Now is probably the best time before, you know, well, I'm already thinking about next summer. Like, if there's something going on with your unit, or right, you're thinking about upgrading, like, now might be the, like, ideal time here in the next couple of months, like you said, to get
it is
get everything worked out.
We've got a lot of things right now. You know, it's a great time for maintenance, for one, but it's also the time of year that, you know, American Standard's got some great rebates right now available on systems that they offer to us, you know, that in the fall and the spring, because that's our shoulder seasons and theirs as well. We've got some financing set up with them, short-term financing with 0% finance. So if anybody needs something, I think we talked about last week with the storm, that's still on our website, where you could do a short-term 0% finance for anything you might need there. The manufacturers really try to help us out. And this is the time of year they can do more, we can do more. So if you're in the market for anything to be replaced or looked at, this is definitely a time of year for that, as well as it's a perfect time to have your maintenance done going into, you know, cold weather coming up.
And how about if someone's maybe doing okay, they're not looking at like upgrading or changing out their unit or anything, but just maintenance, like you said, that's also, mm-hmm. Do you recommend that people get an inspection every so often?
Yeah, we recommend the units be checked twice a year, you know, basically now going into our winter season, and then again in the spring going into the summer. Not just to have it checked, but to actually have it cleaned. It's very easy for a system to lose a lot of its efficiency, even if it's running properly, if it's not maintained and kept clean, the outdoor coil, indoor coil. Of course, drain lines is a big issue around here, drain lines backing up, causing big water messes and things like that. That's definitely more than just having it checked, as people like to say. It's actually having some service done to it to keep it clean and keep it efficient.
Gotcha. So it's almost like cleaning your teeth. Like, you want to make sure a couple times a year, like before something goes wrong, they're getting looked at or making sure like that deep clean.
My wife's going to appreciate you. She's a hygienist.
Yeah. That's what. Okay. I did not know that, but that's a great plug. So all of the above, like it's scheduled out at the same time. We were saying before, it used to be like when you got your bill, you change your filter. Like maybe that's now when you get the cleaning, get your other cleaning while you're at it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's something else I think we could talk about today. Is, you know, the filters are something that, just because we're out of the cooling season, don't neglect your filters with it coming up, you know, because heat pumps, very critical to keep your refrigerants right, to keep that filter clean. Gas furnaces, you don't want to overheat your heat exchanger, that can cause your heat exchanger to actually crack and fail early. So definitely don't lose track of your filters just because we're not in the cooling season. Keep an eye on them, whatever method you use to keep them clean, and keep those clean so that you don't have heater problems as well.
Is there a way to clean them other than just replacing them?
It depends on the filter. Most filters are throwaway filters that we see in homes, but we do install filters that are, you know, washable filters that are permanent. You know, they do a very good job, but even then you typically have a throwaway filter in front of that filter to catch the big particles that you would still change every month. And then the big one behind it, you would wash out, say, every 6 months or whatever your house would require.
Gotcha. And so I'm thinking about in my house, I know we've got one, like kind of the big one that's upstairs. Our house is not big. It's like 1,200 square feet. Mm-hmm. We've also got a little one in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So probably we should just be on the same schedule for both.
Yeah, you should. Right? Yes. And that may be... I would have to look at it to know. It'd be very odd to find a return air in a kitchen, because that's not a great place for one. Nothing to be alarmed about, but it might be something to have looked at. But yes, if they are both filters that go to your AC, I would probably do them at the same time, unless you notice that one just really doesn't ever get near as dirty as the other. And sometimes that happens. But as long as you're checking it and eyeballing it to make sure it is clean, you'd be in good shape.
Okay. Well, I know what I'm doing today. Today is the day. And in just the last couple, you know, minute or so here at Travis, I want to make sure everyone knows one more time that they can get in touch, climatechproair.com. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And the phone number where they can call Roberta or Matt.
That's 850-857-4700.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. I've been speaking with Travis Thompson of Climatech of Professional Air this half hour, and we are imploring you to please not panic if you see some steam coming off of your unit, but to reach out and get in touch for your twice-a-year maintenance, making sure everything's checked. And their team really just has such great expertise, deep knowledge, and they're here to help. So please give them a call.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.